Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Red Men News. I am Ross Chanley, joined today by Bailey Shaw. Bailey, it's been a while. Well, it's not. I saw you yesterday, but it's a while since you've been on Red Men News. So thank you very much for doing this. Just a few little bits to get through, some Fabinho injury news kind of updates, a little bit on Steve Nicol, just talking absolute wham, which I will delve into and enjoy. Some on the supporters returning to stadiums, and then I'm going to finish on a nice note, if I can call it that, with a cheeky little interview with Jurgen Klopp and Sean Cox for your Thursday. Doing it Thursday instead of Friday, just to keep you on your toes. But I'm going to start with the Fabinho stuff. Liverpool received Fabinho boost with hamstring injury not as bad as first feared. Liverpool had feared Fabinho suffered a grade 3 hamstring tear, but scans have now shown that Brazilian's issue is not as bad as first thought. So I think we're kind of looking at kind of 3 to 6 weeks. This could be 1 to 2 weeks. I suppose it's the best of a bad situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. Especially the bad situation being that, you know, we're literally running on youth team centre-backs at the minute. When I was reading the article that you sent me, I didn't realise that they first feared it was a grade 3 tear, which is 6 months out, which is, like, horrendous. You know, you're losing your first choice centre-back, you've lost your second choice in and out in Matip, and then your third choice, obviously excluding Gomez, is then out for 6 months. That would just be disaster stations, and I'm really glad to hear that. I mean, I think that means he comes back after the internationals, I think. Or, like, likelihood is, if it's not as bad as they think. It's massive. We really, really need Fabinho in that back line. He was excellent against Ajax. He was excellent as the deputy standing there in all the games I've seen him play at centre-back. And when you haven't got, you know, Virgil van Dijk in that defence, you really do need a calm head, a calm, experienced head like Fabinho in your back line.
There's almost pressure to kind of rush him back. And there won't be for Jurgen Klopp and the rest of the team. But what you just mentioned there, Joe Matip's, you know, we don't know whether he's going to be fit for Saturday. Reece Williams, like, I'd probably tip him to start centre-back on Saturday. But again, it's a lot of pressure for, you know, it's like a youth player to kind of step into that. So, you know, we've got West Ham, you can probably leave him out for. Atalanta, we're in a good place in the Champions League. But then there's Manchester City. Do you think Klopp and his team have one eye on getting him back for that?
See, originally, just before the Alisson thing, I would have said no, because I think we do tend to take our time and break people in as and when. You know, we've seen it with Ox, Lallana's had it in the past, Gomez's had it in the past, you know. But when Alisson obviously came out with his interview saying, you know, I demanded the doctors to get me fit ASAP, and the doctors were like, sure. It's a case of...
Why doesn't everyone do that?
I know, exactly. Yeah, it's just, right, well, we'll do that then from now on. And I think that might be how we're looking at it, especially in the game against City, because Fabinho, in the last two times we've played them, has been a powerhouse. You know, he's scored against City. He's had a massive role to play in both those games, last two games we've played them. And I think with our best midfield, Fabinho's definitely in there. If we're playing a 4-3-3, he's so, so important to sitting in the base of that defensive midfield position. That's how I'm looking at it. You know, even if he doesn't pick him to play centre-half against City, which, you know, if he's fit and Matip's not, it's a Gomez-Fabinho no-brainer. But say if Matip is back for that City game, I would still want Fabinho there at DM because he's so important. But in case of rushing him back, no, because he's too important to, you know, bring him back in for a game and then lose him again for however many months. But, yeah, it's a weird situation now with the injuries, because if Alisson can do it, you know, we didn't really know the extent of his shoulder injury, but... You know, if the medical department see that and say, you know, it's not as serious as we think, we'll get you in ASAP, then, yeah, well for it.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments below who you start at centre-back at the weekend or thereafter. Paul has done the starting 11 match build-up. If you want to go starting 11, if you want to go and watch that on the main YouTube. And we've also done the match build-up, which is also out. Go and feast your eyes on that. Sticking with the centre-back stuff, I joked about it before. And the page is not loading up. But basically, Steve Nicol has said Liverpool Liverpool should recall, try and get Dejan Lovren on loan. Then he went on to joke about Sacco not getting many minutes at Crystal Palace. Then he went on to go and say that Reece Williams isn't even a centre-back. I'm not sure where to start with any of that, to be perfectly honest. I think we've all kind of joked about having Dejan Lovren back, but I think he was being quite serious. But, you know, Liverpool can't feasibly go and do that. You know, they're in a situation, you know, Lovren doesn't look a bad option now when you look back at it because of, you know, where we're kind of at. But I'll use a terrible analogy here, Bailey, but please do bear with me. But, you know, if you broke up with a girlfriend, you got a new one, then the new one chipped you off, you wouldn't go straight back to the old one, would you?
You might.
Yeah, I might. That's desperate. But, you know, you move on with your life, wouldn't you? Liverpool can't go back and can't, you know, you can't Lovren and Sacco, a fucking skirt, still play football. You know, you can't keep listing off ex-players that play for Liverpool and hope they get in. Where he's got Reece Williams and even the centre-back from, I have no idea. But, you know, the manager in Jurgen Klopp has been playing him there. So, you know, I trust Jurgen Klopp over Steve Nicol.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what this absolute guff is that Nicol has come out chatting to. And I don't know if it's poor, like, excuse for, like, comedy. And, you know, I think one of them said the Sacco thing was obviously a joke. But that's about on a par as saying, you know, let's get Lovren straight back. Let's take the piss out of Reece Williams. He's done very well in his last couple of appearances for Liverpool. It's like, well, if he's not a centre-back, what is he? Like, shop assistant at Sainsbury's. Like, that is his position in the team. And he's done very well there. The thing about Lovren is just sort of like, whatever. I think if Lovren was still here, you'd have an Adrian situation where, you know, you've got a defender who's been plagued with issues in the past. And you have that sense of unrest, I think, when he's in the team. By all means, if he was here, he'd be playing because he's a very experienced centre-half. But it's a nothing argument, you know. You can't just let players go and bring him back unless they're on a loan system. And we sold Dejan Lovren, and I wish him all the best in his career in Russia. But, yeah, the Reece Williams one's the one that annoyed me the most because, you know, he's a kid who's just coming into the team, had two appearances in the Champions League, you know, hopefully probably looking forward to the weekend at home against West Ham, maybe starting that game and winning, getting 3 points for Liverpool. And to have, you know, a club legend come out and say, you know, where do you even play? It's knocking his confidence for no reason. And it's like, when you've got a kid that gets that opportunity, you've got to rally behind him. And I think I'm speaking for most people, and I say he's done a very, very, very good job so far.
Yeah, if Reece Williams needs a confidence boost, just go and look at Steve Nicol's track record of guff that he's come out with, and it'll be fine. Just pinched your word from you there, Bailey. Moving on towards that update for supporters on the 2021 season developments. As part of the club's ongoing preparations for the potential return of supporters to the stadium in the future, Liverpool would like to provide an update to fans on the current situation. Obviously, things in the world with COVID have kind of gone through the roof. There were supposed to be fans back in early October. That's kind of been put on hold. But Liverpool, as such, are currently working on a number of new processes and systems which will be introduced in the coming weeks that will enable them to properly be prepared to welcome fans back into Anfield as safely and efficiently as possible when government guidelines allow. This is kind of just adding on to a couple of things that have happened in the past couple of days. Bailey, Rick Parry sent a scathing statement out of the day to you know, the FA and the Premier League to kind of say, you know, the teams are ready. I think it's a town that isn't great because, you know, cases and stuff are kind of going up at the minute. There was a situation where I think Manchester United said that they're ready to have 23,000 inside their stadium. Liverpool, obviously, you know, even though there's been a delay, I've had more time to prepare to make sure that all these things are safe and proper. The timing, if it isn't quite right, but at least there's kind of a glimmer of hope for all those fans that we can be back in stadiums. BT Sport showed, you know, just before the game the other night of Anfield being full on Champions League nights, and, you know, I think it all cut us a little bit deep. But in a shit world, shall we say, there's a glimmer of hope, isn't there?
Yeah, it's absolutely the silver lining sort of in this situation is just that hope stays there, you know, with the government shafting everybody at the minute, especially you guys up north with the tier system, you know, to still have Liverpool coming out and saying we're still trying, still pushing just to get some people in the stadium. And it's always been something that baffled me, is that situation. You know, you can have lower league clubs in the football pyramid that can have, you know, 150, 300 people in a stadium that has a capacity of about 2,000, but you can't have any fans in a capacity stadium that has 60,000. It's sort of like, in a stadium that will be well-functioned, well out in the open, even if you let, you know, 10% of that capacity in your stadium, there's no way that you can't say that you couldn't police that properly, having people in certain ends by certain exits and time and all that. I think it's it's a really easy way that it could be done. And the biggest thing for me is, you know, in this time, we were speaking just before the show about how shit it is when you get sent home for a few weeks if you've been in the misfortunate event of having to be on isolation for a while. It's just like being able to look at football and say, right, I can go to a football game at the weekend. And that would bring so much joy, and I think it would alleviate so much of the sort of the torrid time we're having right now, is by being able to go to the footy. It's so important. And like I say, I've been watching the football, and it's when you go back and watch Champions League games or any game, you see a full stadium. It's like that feels ages ago now. And it's like you have that longing of just being like, I just want to watch a fucking live football game again. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's not been helped by the fact that there were scenes from Legoland earlier this week where, you know, there's people outside, you know, which is pretty full, and think that exists, why can't you do it? I think Norwich City had people in the stadium watching the football game in a corporate room with the curtains closed while the football was going on behind them. And you can watch it in a cinema as well. It's just absolutely mental. One last story before we get onto some of your comments. Jurgen Klopp did an interview with Sean Cox on Today FM. There's a 10-minute clip. It's on the Redmen TV Twitter account, and I think there's a link with that they tagged us in it to the full thing on their YouTube channel. Where he sat down with the Cox family, and he said, the club can find ways. Club can always find a way to aid them as they continue to live with the scars of that night in 2018. Klopp said, "We at Liverpool all feel responsible for what will happen from now on, and we'll try to help as much as we can. And by the way, for Sean and Martina, that's still like this. I hope you know that. Whatever you need, and when no authority in this country or your country can help, I think we can always find a way where we can make things maybe easier. We still feel like this. It's a friendship. It's like family. It's like we really have to do these things because we want to do these things. That's the moment when a club has to show real unity, because it's not about who's responsible for it. It's about who helps what happened after what happened." Just a real nice moment. I think I find myself hanging on to every word that Jurgen Klopp says anyway. Bailey, but obviously he's been at the club for over 5 years now, and he's still maintaining that togetherness, that community that I think he's kind of touching on there. And it's just nice that Sean Cox hasn't been forgotten about. You know, he still remains in, you know, people's thoughts when, you know, even when the Premier League trophy was getting lifted, his banner was in the cop and stuff like that. You know, it means a lot to Liverpool fans. It's good that, you know, Jurgen Klopp still has that in his mind.
Yeah, and I think he's even more than, you know, not being forgotten. I think he's been immortalised, to be honest, by the fans and by Jurgen Klopp and the football club, the way that they've reacted to this situation that was horrible. You know, they've put him on a pedestal, said, you know, we'll never forget your name. And by bringing him up, you know, I love it when I see Sean Cox out there. And I love the fact that him and his family seem to be incredibly happy at the minute. Obviously, it's a horrible situation that's happened, but to see them smiling and enjoying, you know, just having a conversation with Jurgen, it's amazing. And I think that it's so important right now, again, because it's a shit environment that we're in at the minute, whether it be the government or the virus or whatever. Just to see, you know, these little glimmers of sort of happiness that are getting put out there, and it's just massively admirable by the football club and by Jurgen Klopp specifically, just to be able to, you know, give those guys something to look forward to and reassure them that, you know, when the government's not there for you, you know, we are, you know, that whole sense of family and communities is echoed through the football club and the city. So yeah, no, it was lovely to watch.
Yeah, it's what you'll never walk alone means, doesn't it? So it's good to. I do urge you to go and watch that, actually. As I said, it's on the Redmen Twitter account, and the link to their YouTube full interview is up there as well. Another thing I'd urge you to do, it won't be a Redmen news channel without plugging something, obviously. Our book, Man and Paul's book, is out. We've got limited copies of the special edition. So if you want it signed, some exclusive stickers, and a personal message if you want it. If you want to buy it for yourself, if you want to buy someone for Christmas. I know it's October, I'm really sorry. But honestly, I've got a limited amount. There's loads of the normal copies if you want one of them as well. We just send that out on it. It's available to you. I'll get Tom to put the link in the description and in the comments, which is bit.ly/redmenshop, Tom, all in lowercase. Going to get to some of your comments now once I open my phone. On Fabinho, Mitchell B says, good that the timeout is so short. Just a shame it encompasses the City game. Hopefully it doesn't yet. On centre-backs, Adam Fitzgibbon says, I think I'd just throw Hendo in centre-back. We have a fair few midfielders who are capable. And Joaquim Barreto says, give Reece a chance. All we are saying is give Reece a chance. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the Hendo stuff's interesting as well. But, you know, I think I saw an argument earlier this week, Bailey, that you're kind of losing two parts. You know, if you've got Thiago, Gini, Curtis Jones fit, maybe that's not a bad midfield. But, you know, taking Hendo away from being a DM as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't. If you haven't seen the Red Zones roundup we did yesterday, go and watch that. We talked about this situation in depth. we had this discussion about, you know, Henderson got pulled off against Midtjylland early in, you know, preparation in case he needs to play at centre-back against West Ham. But again, like I said earlier, Reece Williams has been very solid. I would think it would massively stunt his growth if you put John Henderson in there. And most importantly of all, he's so imperative in that midfield. When he's not there, we really do lose something. And I've always an advocate for play your players in their position. Even though Steve Nicol doesn't think Reece Williams is a centre-back, he's more of a centre-back than Jordan Henderson is, for sure. Yeah. So, absolutely, yeah, I would play Reece Williams there. It's against West Ham. It's at home. I think it'd do the confidence the world of good, and Henderson is much more useful to us in the midfield.
Yeah. On the fans' return, Adam Fitzgibbon says, Redman, I always think a stadium could be at least a third full or quarter of each stand? And 1989, Nicky D says you could have 10,000 to 15,000 at least. Yeah, I think the clubs should be able to kind of do it themselves and kind of, you know, stagger people going in. You know, Bailey's a 3 o'clock kickoff. You come in at 1 o'clock. You know, you're going to be there 2 hours earlier. You're not getting in, but you can be one of the first to go. People will know that. You know, there's temperature checks, all the stuff in protocols in place. I don't know why, but obviously, you know, things are pretty bad right now. And just one final comment on other. Joshua James says, let's talk about Marcus Rashford, the legend, what he's doing for this country. The guy's absolutely doing bits. We said it on a couple of shows, Bailey, but hey, it's a really nice thing to finish on. Bagged the hat trick, you know, which obviously didn't please a lot of us. Like, I'm not really bothered about that, but the fact that what he's doing off the pitch is just so incredible. The fact that he scored a hat-trick, then got straight onto Twitter and started calling out the government and can continue to do what he was doing.
After
a game, it's bossing it.
Marcus Rashford, he's gone from, you know, a Man United forward to an absolute hero to a lot of people, especially to me. You know, he's a guy who's younger than me and he's doing fucking miles more sort of forward-thinking things than I could ever do. And I think it's the fact that the biggest thing I could use to describe him is the fact that, you know, people say, you know, football's not life and death, but kids going hungry absolutely is. And he's doing the utmost, more than I've seen anybody do, more than any politicians, more than anybody else, to, you know, really take that torch and carry it for, you know, millions of hungry children across the UK. And it's just the fact that I love that. Jump straight on Twitter afterwards, going straight back to, you know, politician mode. And Marcus Rashford is, you know, he got his MBE. Was it an MBE or an OBE? An MBE, I think. He and massively deserved. And I just love the fact that he's not doing it for PR. He's not doing it for anything other than the fact that he's had that hard upbringing and he wants to make sure he uses his platform to give back to people. You know, he doesn't have any obligation to do that. And I just love that.
He's been through it. That's why, yeah.
Exactly. And I just love that is Marcus Rashford now. And it's, again, I don't care that he's a Manchester United player. I wish he does well in football. And I wish he does well even more so in these proceedings that he's doing at the minute. So, yeah, hats off to Marcus Rashford. He's a great guy.
Maybe he can teach all of us to be nice to each other, Carney, as well. In fact, he scored two goals and was on for a hat-trick and gave Martial the penalty. Like, you know, it's just a gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? Eric, we'll end it there. Bailey, thank you very much. Thank you to you, for listening and for watching. Let us know what you do for the centre-back situation at the weekend and get your comments on any of the topics that we have discussed today. We'll be back on Monday for more news. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.